Hey, good evening, everybody. I'm going to call the county board meeting to order. And if the clerk would please call the roll.
Betcher.
Here.
Betcher here, Bollig.
Bollig here.
Bollig here, Brower. Brower here, Chabla. Chabla here, Doolin. Doolin, Downing.
Doolin here.
Doolin here, Downing.
Downing is here.
Downing here, Iker. Iker. Engelberger. Engelberger here. Erickson. Erickson here. Freeze. Freeze here, Furman. Furman here, Glazer. Glazer absent, Gray. Gray. Huselman. Huselman absent, Jackson.
Jackson here.
Jackson here, Kemp.
Kemp here.
Kemp here, Kageya.
Kageya here.
Kageya here, Crowning. Crowning here, Marin.
Marin here.
Marin here, McCarville. McCarville. Peters. Peters here. Peterson. Peterson absent. Hostler.
Hostler here.
Hostler here. Ritt.
Ritt here.
Ritt here. Rose.
Rose here.
Rose here. Rylander. Rylander here. Smith. Smith here. Udell. Udell here. Veldrin. Veldrin here. Wegleitner. Wegleitner here. Wagon. Wagon here. Welsh.
Welsh here.
Welsh here, Yang. Yang here, Andre. Andre here, Blazewitz. Blazewitz here, Miles.
Miles here.
Miles here, we have.
Iker is present as well.
Right.
And I see Supervisor McCarville on the screen, so maybe she just couldn't unmute.
All right.
Okay, quorum being present, we shall move on to our inspirational message tonight presented by Supervisor Betcher.
So as I was thinking about what inspires me and how I look at events and history, the thing that inspires me the most is kind of the simple, average, everyday people and the everyday things that happen. But they end up giving us a view on history over the years. You know, we all hear from presidents and generals and, you know, politicians about how they see the world and how they see things. But when you look at some of the things that you saw in your history textbook, the things that you've seen happen, what really strikes you about some of the major events? And I always go back to three certain photos that have always reminded me how things mattered. There's a photo of some college students sitting at a luncheon bar during the Civil Rights protests and how a crowd of people were up against them, pouring drinks on them and screaming at them how they didn't belong there. And they just sat there and they took it. These weren't politicians, they weren't millionaires, they weren't billionaires, they were just average people saying, this is an average day, but I want to do what's right, not what's easy. And that photo strikes you as to what that moment meant. There's a photo of a small girl walking past a group of adults who are screaming at her that she doesn't belong there. And she just walks past them. She doesn't yell back at them. It isn't a huge message. She's not the son of the daughter of a rich person. She's just a small child walking into a school. But that image sticks in your mind, and everyone knows who she is. There was a woman on a bus who just one day, as an average person, decided not to get up from that seat and walk away. As she's being yelled at, you don't belong there. And everybody knows who that woman is. Again, she's not a billionaire. She's not a CEO. She's not a politician. She was just an average person on an average day deciding to do what was right, not what was easy. A lot of people are very worried about what's going on in America right now. I'm thinking more about what are we going to be looked at 40 years from now? What are the photos that are going to tell people what happened now? Is it a picture of a president saying, this is the way the world is? Is it a picture of people being picked up on the street by people with masks on? An average person on an average day that really gives you more of an idea of what happened. And when I look at what the county board can do, the biggest thing we can do is we have the county board library system. We have to make sure those pictures don't disappear, those moments don't get lost, because those are the moments that really define what happened at that time in history. And so I think, for me, the biggest inspiration I have right now is being here, making sure we do what we can so that those moments in time aren't lost, and that we protect them, and that we as average people, just on an average day, do what's right, not what's easy. And with that, I guess we'll now do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Supervisor Boettcher. Next, we're on to special matters and announcements. The first item before us under this is 2025 Resolution 4, celebrating 50 years of the Hmong people, culture, and community in the United States and Dane County. Supervisor Yang.
Thank you, Chair Miles. 2025 Res 4, celebrating 50 years of the Hmong people, culture, and community in the United States, Wisconsin, and Dane County. Whereas the Hmong people, an ethnic group originally from northern China, have a rich cultural heritage, including unique languages, traditions, and customs that date back more than 3,000 years. Hmong people are believed to have migrated from the Yellow River Basin and currently live mostly in the mountainous regions of southern China. The Hmong faced significant persecution during various dynasties, leading to migrations within China and to neighboring countries like Southeast Asia. Despite these challenges, the Hmong have maintained distinct cultural practices, including traditional clothing and festivals. And whereas the Hmong people came to the United States as political refugees, primarily from areas of Laos beginning in the mid-1970s after Hmong soldiers fought bravely alongside U.S. soldiers during the war in Southeast Asia and suffered political persecution in their homeland. During the Vietnam War, the U.S. enlisted the help of the Hmong against communist forces, an effort documented by the CIA known as the Secret War, also known as the Laotian Civil War. After this period, the diaspora began and more than 130,000 Hmong initially settled in the U.S. And whereas the 2021 census reported the U.S. Hmong American population has risen to over 368,000, with around 80% still living in California, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, the Hmong represent more than one-third of the state's Asian population, with over 70,000 Hmong in the state in 2023, and the Hmong language as the third most commonly spoken language in Wisconsin. And whereas from the 1990s to today, the Hmong population in Wisconsin has increased significantly, with the early growth of the population due to secondary migration from other U.S. locations, as well as continuing arrivals from refugee camps. These factors, along with the growth of generations of Hmong families in the U.S., has led to the Hmong people, culture, and traditions occupying an important place in communities across the U.S., Wisconsin, and Dane County. And whereas Hmong families and individuals are very well established in communities across Wisconsin. In 2010, for instance, over 50% of the Hmong population owned their own homes. Hmong community cohesion is strong, the population is young and continuing to grow. And the Hmong increasingly contribute to the culture, economy, and communities in which they live. Hmong community members work across all sectors, including manufacturing, education, healthcare, social assistance, and owning their own businesses, contributing to the economic fabric of Dane County. And whereas the Hmong people enrich our communities in Wisconsin through the preservation of the unique and special attributes of their culture, traditions, and language. The Hmong have shared with Wisconsin and Dane County the beauty of their music, cuisine, and art, including through the richly detailed story cloths, or pandao, which serve as a visual historical record of the Hmong people, the secret war, their diaspora, and the sacrifices and struggles of migration and settlement. And whereas the Hmong have a strong sense of community in which each person has a role and a responsibility to ensure their actions benefit the whole, including their families and neighbors. Hmong elders are respected as wise teachers. Families, clans, and communities all play a part in providing mutual aid, as well as teaching and preserving the Hmong cultural traditions and language and sharing them with non-Hmong residents. In addition to maintaining cultural preservation, they highly value and respect community leadership. Throughout their existence, they have maintained the value of leaders through establishing leadership roles, including in Wisconsin, starting with Fakeng Va, who is president of the Wisconsin Hmong 18 Clan Council. In Dane County, each clan has its own leadership known as Daesing. Clan leaders in Dane County listed as followers as follows. Va Clan, Nyehu Va, Lee Clan, Ba Neng Lee, Lo and Pa Clan, Bijak Lo, Ta Clan, Ba Ying Ta, Vu Clan, Peter Vu, Hyung Clan, Zhu Hu Hyung, Ya Clan, Yo Chua Ya, Ja Clan, Fu Stephen Ja, and Mo Clan, Ble Vu Mo. And whereas the Hmong families to reside in and contribute to life in Dane County moved to the Bayview Community Center in 1979 and 1980, with more families arriving in the 1990s and early 2000s. Yat Ja and his family were among the first Hmong to reside in Bayview Community Center, where he still lives today. And whereas the Hmong people have contributed to the enrichment of Dane County through nonprofit business owners who serve and run programs to protect the elderly and the youth by creating culturally relevant services like Manilaku, founder and CEO of Grand Journey, provides CCS services for Hmong and Southeast Asian elders through partnership with Dane County Health and Human Services. Duo Va, who is the former director of Hmong Mental Health Program, a program made possible through Journey Mental Health, and is now the executive director of the Southeast Asian Healing Center. In addition to the work of Maizhong and Se Peng He, who started the Hmong Institute, which focuses not only on mental health for Hmong elders, but also runs the Hmong Learning Cultural Enrichment Program, an educational program focused on the Hmong culture and identity for children in kindergarten to eighth grade. And whereas the Hmong people have contributed richly to the diverse narratives that exist in Dane County public schools, with Go Nu Va Vu as the first school principal of Hmong descent in the Madison Metropolitan School District, and also the first to lead the only Hmong English language immersion program in the state of Wisconsin. And whereas Tom Bu Hyung was one of the first Hmong social workers in Dane County, working closely with Hmong families and elders and specializing in long-term care, opening the door for many other Hmong persons to gain employment in Dane County. And whereas, despite the many hardships of assimilating to the U.S., the Hmong people have maintained their cultural traditions through the celebration of the Hmong New Year. Since the 1980s, when the Hmong people moved to Dane County, they have kept their annual celebration of the Hmong New Year at the Lion Energy Center. This celebration is not only a diverse experience that celebrates the diaspora of the Hmong people, it is also a visually stunning display of the richness of their clothing and the uniqueness of their resilience. The Madison Hmong New Year has been hosted and organized by the Wisconsin Hmong Association since 2013, and before that by various Hmong leaders throughout Dane County. With the leadership of the Wisconsin Hmong Association, its current president, Ning Hu Ya, along with its current officers, former president, and all former officers, they have taken the Madison Hmong New Year further with their vision of cultural preservation and love for their heritage and identity. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors recognizes 2025 as the 50th year anniversary of the Hmong people, culture, and community in the United States, Wisconsin, and Dane County. Be it further resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors celebrates the myriad ways in which the Hmong people have enriched and served the Dane County community in the last 50 years and affirms our friendship and support for the Hmong community into the future. So moved.
Moved by Yang, seconded by Chavla. All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. With that, the motion carries. The resolution is adopted. Supervisor Ying.
Thank you, Chair Miles. Today is a very special day as we honor, celebrate, and recognize the 50th anniversary of the Hmong people's migration to the United States as refugees. As I reflect back on these past 50 years, I am amazed and astonished at how much the Hmong people have accomplished, despite the oppression and acts of genocide that they have experienced for thousands of years. Lately, I have been pondering what it means to be Hmong. Is it one's genetics? Is it being born into a Hmong family? Is it about the values of community and prioritizing collective needs over individual needs? Is it about knowing the Hmong language? What does it truly mean to be Hmong? There's a well-known phrase in the Hmong culture that states, to be Hmong is to be free. I heard this from my parents, but I didn't quite understand what it meant till I was older. And as I reflect on the many ways that I am Hmong, I realize that every new generation of Hmong has had to wrestle with these same questions. Despite the challenges of extinction, we have endured and overcome them through reimagining and redefining what it means to be Hmong wherever we reside. My father, who is a fierce and strong Hmong man, when he was 17 years of age, was recruited by General Vapaw and his officers to fight in the secret war. I'm going to share with you today a memory that will stay with me forever. Growing up in a Hmong American home wasn't easy, and I didn't understand my parents, especially my father. I didn't understand why he was so withdrawn from his children, why he only chose to speak when we were in trouble or had done something bad. He always showed the side of him that was strong and authoritarian. But I remember during my first college year, I came home for Christmas break and my father asked me to attend one of his therapy sessions with him as a translator. During that time, Hmong translators didn't exist, and their children or whoever knew how to speak Hmong and English would be the translator. And at that time, I had no idea that my dad was seeing a therapist and that he was struggling with depression. In my eyes, my dad had always been a pillar of strength, and I never imagined that he would need therapy. He shared his struggle with depression and the trauma that was inflicted on him during the secret war, his struggles of being an immigrant, having to navigate the customs and cultures of America, and how learning the English language was such a struggle. My father broke down in tears, and that was the very first time I had ever seen him vulnerable. It was a lot for me to take in, all the while attempting to translate everything that he had voiced. Now, you know why I'm a firm advocate of language justice and language access. I had no idea of the depths of his experience and how traumatic that was for him. Hmong boys were recruited to be in the secret war from as early as the age of 10, while American boys could not serve until they were 18. Hmong soldiers died 10 times more than American GIs. Hmong soldiers received 2,000 kip, which in US dollars at that time was $3 per month, compared to American soldiers who made earnings from $197 to $339 per month. American pilots who flew over Vietnam were sent home after a year in comparison to Hmong pilots who continued to fly over Vietnam again and again and again until they died. And as I think about the details of the secret war and the trauma that he endured, having to fight and kill another human, and then taking your family to live in the jungles, crossing the Mekong River to live in refugee camps, and then coming to the States, a place where you don't know the language, the customs and cultures, and having to start fresh in a place where you were unappreciated, misunderstood, and hated. The amount of trauma that our Hmong families have had to endure is immeasurable. When we look at all of the accomplishments the Hmong people have made, I am in awe of how much we have accomplished despite the horrors we have faced. But because we have faced so many horrors for so long, we carry with us not only resilience, but incredible trauma. And despite the many challenges, we have overcome all of it. How can this be? Research shows that those who have a firm understanding of their cultural background, their upbringing, their identity, and their history are more likely to advocate for not only themselves, but also for other people groups. This is why cultural preservation, the value of cultural identity, knowing your history, the good and the bad parts, can only help all of us to reconcile our past traumas and build continued resilience. And the Hmong people aren't perfect, and we know that we have a lot of trauma to unpack, but I know that as long as we continue to look inward and not allow anyone else to define who we are doing the work to stop the cycle of abuse and suffering, because healing happens when one looks inward. In Dane County, the Hmong people have done just that. Ever since the arrival of Hmong families in Dinh County, families like Yat Cha, who is a veteran and a soldier in the Secret War, is one of the first Hmong families to live in Dinh County at the Bayview Community Center and still lives there to this day. The Hmong people have maintained and prioritized the preservation of their cultures, traditions, and values through electing clan leaders. In each state, county, and cities, starting with in Wisconsin, Bakengba, who is the president of the Wisconsin Hmong 18 Clan Council. And in Dane County, each clan has its own leadership known as Daysing. The Va clan, Nyehu Va, the Li clan, Ba Neng Li, and the Lo and Pa clan, B Jack Lo. Can you stand for us, please? Thank you, B Jack. The Ta clan, Ba Ying Ta. The Vu clan, Peter Vu. The Hyung clan, Ju Hu Hyung. The Ya clan, Jiao Zhuo Ya. The Jia clan, Fu Stephen Jia. And the Mo clan, Ble Vu Mo. Hmong people in Dane County have used their trauma to build support systems and programming to preserve their identity and values through culturally relevant programming and partnering with local government, public schools, and nonprofit organizations to promote the significance of cultural awareness, identity, and the impact of building comprehensive community services. Individuals like Manila Gu, can you stand? Thank you. Who is the founder and CEO of Grand Journey, Duova, who is the CEO of the Southeast Asian Healing Center, and Mai Zhong and Tse Peng Ho, who lead the Hmong Institute. All of them have done tremendous work in stopping these cycles of trauma with their work. In addition to this, Dr. Macy Her, can you please stand, who is the CEO of the Wisconsin Hmong Chamber of Commerce, has done tremendous work at helping to highlight and support the many Hmong businesses throughout the state of Wisconsin, and especially in Dane County, increasing the visibility of Hmong businesses by securing grants to support these businesses and increasing their capacity to serve. In the education sector, Go Nu Van Vu, who is the first person of Hmong descent as a principal in MMSD, runs the only bilingual Hmong immersion program in the state of Wisconsin and has contributed to the significance of asset-based learning, asset-based teaching through combining culture, language, literacy, and learning. In addition to this, Tom Hyung, who is one of the first Hmong social workers in Dane County, and his daughters Denise and Dorothea right here representing him tonight, has worked closely with Hmong families and elders, specializing in long-term care, opening the door for many other Hmong persons to gain employment in Dane County, similar to Xie Ya, who is a social worker with the ADRC in Dane County. Organizations like the Wisconsin Hmong Association and the work they have done to preserve the Hmong tradition and of celebrating the annual Rice Harvest Festival known as the Madison Hmong New Year. President Ning Hu Ya, along with current officers, Dr. Phillip, you want to stand, former and current officers, and all former presidents, officers, board members, have had the difficult task of leading the Madison Hmong New Year that draws in over thousands of individuals from all over the state of Wisconsin, an event with the most visual display of the Hmong culture in Dane County. These leaders that I mentioned are all prime examples of what it means to do the work of eliminating the cycle of trauma. So as I reflect on what it means to be Hmong, I am reminded that to be Hmong is to be free. Because I come from a very long line of deep history, rich culture, and immense resilience. Like my parents say, to be Hmong is to be free. And to be free means to not only liberate ourselves, but also to liberate others. I hope that in the next 50 years, the Hmong community will continue to do the work of liberation, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of everyone. And continue to be the leaders in doing the hard work of cultural preservation, cultural identity, and creating belonging. I know that I am Hmong as long as I know where I come from. As long as I know my history and the origins of my identity, I will continue to carry on my Hmong identity. I hope that as this next generation of Hmong Americans navigate living in the United States, that they will never forget their history, who they are, and the many contributions the Hmong people have made to making the spaces they reside a better place for all. And with that, I would like to introduce to you guys the Wisconsin Inting Clan president, Fakengba. He would like to come and say a few words. And then after that would be the Wisconsin Hmong Association president, Ninghu. Yeah. And then after that, Duova, who is the CEO of the Southeast Asian Healing Center.
Good evening, and thank you, Chairman and all the board in the county here. As Brenda mentioned, I am Bucking Ba, the president of the Hmong Inting Council in the state of Wisconsin. On behalf of the Hmong people in the state of Wisconsin, I am here tonight, standing in front of you, because I am an immigrant son too as well. I know the hardship of the Hmong people. With that, every time when I talk about it, it tears. And that is how hard it is to be. As an immigrant, and also as a son of the heroes that we left behind, and so many that still exist. As you see, right to my right here, there are many community leaders who we work with the Hmong Inting Council in the state of Wisconsin. Our goal and our mission is to preserve and to maintain our cultural identity. Also to educate and to teach and make sure that we don't lose what we have. At the same time, we work as a civil to mediate. And many times we also do marriage counseling. And that's what we do through the community. As long with the many community leaders that you see and you hear today, we all work together with one another, empower one another for the community, so that our community can grow and can be strong, not just only remember the past, but as we move forward to the future, so that our children can grow to be strong and supported the country which is we live in today. We have a long history since 1975 up until now. It's been 50 years marking this year as the milestone for our Hmong people since we migrated from Laos into America. Wisconsin's been the third largest Hmong population that we all live in and we reside in. With many of us being here, we have built many success stories along with hardship and continue to build with that successful, we hope, in the future, our children can grow along with the country and be standing with the country along. For that being said, I thank you for the board, the chairman, and for everyone, and especially Dane County, for loving and welcome Hmong people into your county, into the state of Wisconsin. And we loved it here. Our parents loved it here, our children loved it here, all of us loved it here. And thank you so much for making all of us welcome. And thank you, Brenda, for also making our voices heard. And thank you so much, and thank you.
Hello. Good evening. Hi. My name is Ninghu Yang. So I'm a president and CEO and Wisconsin Hmong Association. So we are a nonprofit that holds program to help Hmong people. We also hold one of our biggest Hmong New Year in Madison, in Wisconsin, with 15,000 people in Dane County last year. Then I want to thank you to City Board Brenda, of the county board members and leader Madison. (Clears throat) So we are here in front of you today, asking for funding to help us make this Hmong community center with over 6,000 people in Deng County. So we want to provide a place where we can come together and enjoy our cultures. Hmong people have infused medicine with an outstanding amount of energy and talent to starting point for positive outcome in every energy, cement, or society, and it's the same culture. I want to encourage Deng County leaders to keep connecting with the Hmong people. Lastly, I wanted to invite you all to join us on November 1st and 2nd at the Aligning Energy. Enjoy food and music and cultural experience. So I would like to thank you for everyone today. And I hope you have to support Hmong community in Deng County. To all of our Hmong, thank you so much.
Hello, my name is Ndua Vang. I prepared a little speech here, but I probably not go with my speech yet. I'm going to talk about my experience. And first, I would like to thank you all the board, Brenda, and the county board for making this possible and recognizing our Hmong community as part of this community for the last 50 years. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the struggle that we've been through for the past 50 years to get here, and I'm not gonna go with my speech that I prepared for tonight. When we first came, like Brenda said earlier, we do not speak the language, and struggling to school, to go to school, and also family who were suffer having trauma before coming here, learn the language and going to work, needing the skill to make end meet, and we not only one person will be able to get enough, bring enough family income to support the whole family. So back in the 80s, 90s, family were requiring two parents going to work to bring enough to support the family. And then that during that time, we have so much trouble, like truancy, gang-related, school dropouts, running away, all over the place. So I actually came to this country as a teenager. I graduated from Madison East High School back in 1980-84. And I worked with Journey Mental Health Center since then because we found out that the majority of Hmong population in Deng County were unable to maintain to employment due to their background, and then we started to find support for them to be able to get them to stabilize their family so they can participate in employment and also help them to function better so their kids can maintain in school. And then since then, I appreciate that the work that we work with the Hmong community leader, and thank you for all the Hmong community leader who are here tonight taking time from Milwaukee to come here for this recognition. And without them, our family, Hmong family, would not be able to survive or come together. And we, others, we are the service provider, but we connect with the family like a clan leader, like Brenda mentioned earlier, that to help us to guide where with the cultural specific that we deal with. And then we cannot just go strictly mainstream to do the counseling or provide the services. We have to work both way to help the family, because the, like I said, the cultural competency, the cultural piece that we are in the system that totally different from where we came from. And to assimilate in this kind of community, we have to learn the language, learn the skill, get job. But when we're back home, we need to change the role, going back to the traditional way that we're practicing, like a, you know, family culture perspective, where respect need to be, all of that. So it's not easy where we, you know, how we get here for the last 50 years. So since then, but we came a long way. It's a half century ago, actually, 50 year. And I may not be able to live in the next 50 year, but for the last 50 year, we have seen the new generation who were able to graduate from school, become attorney, lawyer, doctors, like, you know, a few doctors who are having here, Dr. Philip, for example, that went through college and then become you know, a professional in this community. And then in, since I live in Madison, Lane County, I've seen two people who participate in this political systems. The first one was Shua Wang, who was elected as a Madison School Board way back in 2005, 2007. And then second person is Brenda Yang, who was also elected as a county board supervisor. And we're starting to, beginning to participate in this, you know, a political system to become more appealing to the broader community as a leadership. So within this community, we have about like 5,000 or 6,000 people more who live in Dane County, but other larger community like in Milwaukee, we had elected official in there, Appleton, Warsaw, and Eau Claire. We're also starting to have people who participate in this vibrant community. So we are hoping that in the next 50 years, we'll see more younger generation participate and become part of the this political system. And in that way that we can be more of, you know, connected, and in a way that we can be more out there. And this, that's as a new minority in this community, it's a really, really rarely that we'll be seeing, for example, like a budget pass or funding available. We did not know anything about it. We are kind of like falling the cracks. We're not talked about until somebody, you know, like we have somebody like Brenda or someone who knows about the program they mentioned, and then people will know about it. But actually, we're non-existent in this community. And something like this is really great that we appreciate the knowledge, acknowledge that this is bringing up for the this 50, past 50 years. I'm hoping that the next 50 year we'll see more of this, and we'll see more of our new young generation become part of the larger community. So I would like to thank on the county board again for recognizing this and passing this, and thank you for the Hmong leader who are become here. Thank you, Brenda, for making this possible. And thank you, and then thank you very much.
Thank you. Supervisor Yang, if you would pass out the, distribute the resolutions. And because this is a unique occasion, one in 50 year occasion, these community leaders would like to memorialize that with a photo in front of the dais. And if any supervisors are comfortable coming up to the front to be included in the photo, they would appreciate that. So, Supervisor Yang, you want to guide them to the front of the dais as well to for a photo? I think we can have some, some of our shorter county board supervisors maybe step up here. Shorter. Supervisor Wagon, you can probably come up here. We're shorter. Okay. Not to crowd out the people on the screen. Sit down so we don't lock them too much. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Glad you could be here. Thank you for your work for being done.
Yeah, for you, sir.
Yeah. Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Give them a minute to cycle out. Well, thank you all for helping them memorialize the moment. And we're on to the next resolution, special matter resolution. Resolution 7, recognizing May 2025 as Asian Pacific Islander and Desi American Heritage Month. Supervisor Chavla.
Thanks, Chair Miles. Whereas May is designated as Asian Pacific Islander and Desi American APIDA Heritage Month, to recognize and celebrate the achievements and contributions, as well as acknowledge the sacrifices of generations of Asian, Pacific Islander, and Desi American people in the United States. And whereas the month of May was selected for Asian, Pacific Islander, and Desi American Heritage Month, because APIDA are inextricably tied to the history of the United States, with the first Japanese immigrants arriving in the U.S. on May 7th, 1843, and the first transcontinental railroad completed on May 10th, 1869, with substantial contributions from Chinese immigrants. And whereas Asian and Pacific Islander are terms that encompass all of the Asian continent and the Pacific Islands of Melanesia, New Guinea, New Caledonia, Vanuatu, Fiji, and the Solomon Islands, Micronesia, Marianas, Guam, Wake Island, Palau, Marshall Islands, Kiribati, Nauru, and the Federated States of Micronesia, and Polynesia, New Zealand, Hawaii Islands, Rotuma, Midway Islands, Samoa, America Samoa, Tonga, Tuvalu, Cook Islands, French Polynesia, and Easter Island. I hope I got all those pronunciations sort of right. Whereas Desi, a term that refers to those of South Asian descent, a pan-ethnic group of diverse people and communities rather than a nationally bounded category, is one of the fastest growing immigrant groups in the US, and the APIDA community is an inherently diverse population comprising more than 45 distinct ethnicities and more than 100 language dialects. And whereas, along with their many contributions to our country, generations of the Asian Pacific Islander and Desi Americans have faced shameful treatment at the hands of their government, including discrimination, prejudice, and systematic barriers to advancement, despite hard work and grueling work environments. And whereas, because of our U.S. government is engaged daily in depriving lawful citizens and residents of their constitutional rights, we must commit to remembering and preventing a repetition of the actions carried out during World War II, where U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed Executive Order 9066, forcibly relocating and incarcerating over 120,000 Japanese and Japanese immigrants in 10 internment camps across the American West. Historical accounts and research have shown that the internment was driven by anti-Japanese sentiment and racism rather than genuine security concerns. And whereas Bhagat Singh Thind, an Indian independence activist who immigrated to the United States in 1913 to attend graduate school at UC Berkeley, is known for his historic quest for naturalization and played a key part in the long struggle to remove racial barriers to U.S. citizenship. When the U.S. entered World War I in 1917, Thind enlisted in the U.S. Army. As a member of the Sikh religion, he became the first turban soldier in the American military. Thind applied for and was granted U.S. citizenship twice, once during a service in the U.S. Army and once for his service after his service. But each decision in favor of citizenship was challenged by the U.S. Bureau of Naturalization based on racial grounds and subsequently reversed. And whereas Bhagat Singh Thind became a U.S. citizen for the third and final time in 1935 after Congress granted legal status to all World War I veterans, his struggle illustrates how definitions of race could change over time and be subject to interpretation in ways that had real consequences for people's lives. He died in 1967. It was not until 1940 that all people from India became eligible for naturalization. And whereas through all of these struggles, Asian Pacific Islander and Desi Americans have demonstrated resilience, perseverance, and determination and inspired generations of Americans with the resolve and commitment to participation in civil society. And whereas Dane County values the diversity, knowledge, and experience, its 166 Asian Pacific Islanders and Desi American employees bring to the service they provide to the residents of Dane County, and also recognizes the APIDA milestones of the county board. And whereas Supervisor Brenda Yang is the first person of Hmong heritage to serve on the county board, and whereas Supervisor Ashok Kumar and current Supervisor Yogesh Chawla are the first and second Desi Americans, respectively, to be elected to the county board, and whereas Supervisor Patrick Miles is Nisei, a second-generation Japanese-American, and is the first person of color and first Asian-American to serve as Dane County Board Chair. And whereas Jeff Okazaki is the first person of Asian heritage appointed as the Dane County Clerk of Courts. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors recognizes May 2025 as Asian, Pacific Islander, and Desi American Heritage Month and the many valuable contributions and sacrifices these individuals and communities have made from the local to the national level. Be it finally resolved that the Dane County Board of Supervisors reaffirms its commitment to promoting diversity, ensuring equity, and fostering inclusion for all of our Asian, Pacific Islander, and Desi American communities, recognizing that our country and communities are strengthened and enriched when we embrace all of their cultures and peoples. Moved by Chavla.
All right. Moved by Chavla, seconded by Yang. All in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. And with that, the motion carries.
All right.
Do you want to share any words, or you?
Yeah, I just have a few brief remarks. Yep. First thing I want to do is thank Supervisor Yang and all our friends who came here from the Hmong community. I think sharing their stories is very brave, and I think the way they did it with honesty and heart and just being genuine friends and neighbors was very touching and moving. It reminded me of a lot of the sentiments that I experienced as an Indian American. I want to also thank all of the immigrants in this country. It's been very hard for us the last 100 days, past years, and you know, a lot of times we think about things like people losing citizenship and due process, but we forget about the stories and the families behind all that's happening. And a lot of that, I think about the parents. You know, when my parents came here in the 70s, it was a different America where, you know, immigrants were looked to as people who were here to work hard, people who were here to help the community. And I think about my parents' sacrifices to leave a comfortable life behind and to leave what could have been something that was very easy to lose your professional degrees, lose all your education, all your certification, and to come to America essentially with nothing, where you have cab drivers who are doctors, you have convenience store owners who have advanced technical degrees, and they're all starting over, and they put in all this time and effort for one simple thing, and that's opportunity for their children. And that opportunity comes with responsibility. It also comes with a lot of, I'd say, personal and mental health challenges. The anxiety of trying to live up to the perfection of your parents, trying to carry all of the hopes and aspirations of all the people who couldn't make it here. And when you think about some of the judgment you might get these days when you hear about terms like diversity, equity, inclusion, it leads to a need for perfection in each and everything you do in life. And that means working 24/7, never letting down, and that's hard. You know, and on top of that, I also think about all that's lost. It's really hard to have spent your entire life, you know, here as an immigrant, thinking about the American dream, thinking about the flag. I stand for that flag when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, and to think about how much of that has been lost, just like the pain of that. And I don't think that's something we really acknowledge, just to think about how the values of our country have been lost. And, you know, I always try to, like, go back to, like, I'm a Sikh American. I don't grow my hair. I don't wear the underwear. I don't have the bracelet. I don't bench press 315 pounds like my people. But I think about our values, right? When you come into a gurdwara, everyone gets to eat. Everyone's welcome. Everyone sits on the floor. Everyone eats the same meal. Everyone cleans up at the end. And that feeling of community, you know, sometimes when I think about all that's lost. And, you know, I'll just end with this. You know, this morning I woke up. It was raining. I'm like, oh, my dog's going to go to the bathroom inside. And my kid, she was on the couch. And, you know, I let her out of school today because there's a May Day rally. And the kids were walking. I was like, oh, you're probably going to stay home. And she's like, no. And I was just like, are you crazy? You're going to be out in the rain. You're going to walk in the rain to East High, and then you're going to walk to the Capitol. I'm like, you're going to get sick. I'm like, what do you? And she's like, I want to be there for my friends. You know, when you think about these kids, they're out there walking in the rain. They're not doing this for prestige or social credibility, like social ascension and credibility. They're doing it because, you know, they're doing it for their friends. Like on my kids' track team, man, there's about 50 or 100 kids. They're all from different backgrounds. Some of them, they're wearing their traditional, their clothing or their head coverings. And I think about all those kids. They're all out there on the track and they're all celebrating together. And I know it's hard right now. I don't have a lot of hope because I've seen just so much destroyed, but thank God the kids have a lot of hope. So if you're ever feeling down about anything, just think about all those kids walking East Washington to the Capitol. They were, my favorite thing my kids said was, down, down, down with deportation, up, up, up with education. And I was like, they even have better chance than us. So it's all good. So thank you. Thank you. Big thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Supervisor Chalwa. All right, we're on to announcements. Anyone with announcements? Okay, Supervisor Engelberger, did you? Okay. The label's wrong on here. Yep. You're named vacant, apparently.
Cool.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today is May Day. It's also International Workers' Day. And I just want to thank the thousands of workers here in Dane County and the millions and millions of workers throughout this country. These are the people that make this country go around, world go around. So thank you. I got one other announcement. I just wanted to have people mark their calendars for 2 weeks from this weekend. The Setna Mai Festival, May 16th through 18th in Stoughton. And Setna Mai translates to the 17th of May, which is Constitution Day in Norway. And the Stoughton Setna Mai Festival is a weekend-long celebration of Norwegian heritage, featuring fun activities and cultural experiences for the whole family. Come join us for the 3 days of parades, amazing food and drink, arts, music, athletic competitions, kids' activities, and much more steeped in centuries of Norwegian culture. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Supervisor Weigand.
Thank you. I rise tonight to share that I'm introducing a resolution to change the contracting requirements for human services contracts. We recently learned from an open records request and media report that staff in our human services division intentionally and with the direction of our controller's office broke several contracts up into lesser amounts. The total was about $700,000 that was given to Urban Triage. So that's why I'm introducing a resolution that will require all human service contracts to go through the normal contracting process. If it's good enough for the sheriff, highway department, the zoo, the airport, then it's good enough for our human services division as well. Staff in the human services division have proven with these emails to be untrustworthy, and there needs to be consequences. So these are taxpayer dollars, and the taxpayers deserve to have transparency. No dollar should be spent without transparency. And so with that, I encourage all my colleagues to co-sponsor this resolution with me. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Being no other announcements, we shall move on to approval of payments we have before us. The bill is over $10,000 referred to the county board. Is there a motion to approve? Moved by Veldren, seconded by Balig. Discussion, questions on the bills? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Excuse me. With that, the motion passes. The bills are approved for payment. We're on to denial of claims. We have six items before us. Are there any requests for separation? Hearing no requests for separation, I'll accept a motion to deny the six claims. Moved by Engelberger, seconded by Brower. Discussion on the claims. Hearing none, all in favor of denial, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That the motion carries, the claims are denied. Excuse me. On to approval of county board minutes. We have before us the April 10th county board minutes. Is there a motion to approve those? Moved by Brower, seconded by Udell. Discussion, questions, corrections to the meeting minutes? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries. The meeting minutes are adopted. So we're on to the consent calendar. There are 11 items before us this evening. Are there any requests for separation? Supervisor Chabla. Item 10. Supervisor Wegleitner.
I'd just like to be recorded as voting no on F11 and F10.
Okay. No on F11, that was. Okay. Supervisor Weigand.
I'd like to be recorded as voting no on F1 and F4. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And I'll be recorded as such. So then on the balance of items F1 through 9 and F11, what is before us are the committee recommendations. So all in favor of those recommendations, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries. Those resolutions are adopted. Those items, yeah, all resolutions are adopted. We're on to item F10, 2024, resolution 403, contract change order number 102, jail consolidation project. What is before us is Public Works and Transportation Committee recommendation of approval. Discussion, Supervisor Chavla.
Thanks, Chair Miles. I will be voting yes on F10, as I just did on F11. But what I'd like to see is with the change orders, we're getting like small ones kind of trickling in, 100,000 here, 100,000 there. But I'd like to see if PP&J can keep a tally of the total value of all the change orders, just so we can see if we're approaching the contingency. I know the contingency on the project's really big because the project's big, but having that counting would be helpful. Thanks. Yep.
And just a point of clarification, it would be PWT, and they do, so they'll maintain it. And it generally is a document with each of the change orders detailing the change order and the net effect on the thing. I don't know. Right. That should include that. Supervisor Engelberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Those numbers are included in our minutes every month for PWT on every change order. So you just have to look there. Or you could ask Public Works Director Draper to speak on it also.
Okay.
Information's there.
Thank you. Supervisor Betcher.
Actually, if you would go to the documents that are there and go to number 11, the third document down, CCO 103, and then if you go down in the document itself, it gets to net change by previous change orders. So that document does show it rolling up every time.
Okay.
And that is attached in the agenda.
Correct. Thank you. Any further discussion on resolution 403? As I said, the recommendation before us is a recommendation of approval. Supervisor Wegleitner.
I just want to be recorded as voting no. Thank you.
Okay, and the clerk has got that. So with that, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries, the resolution is adopted. On to H, reports on zoning petitions. We have 8 items before us this evening. Are there any requests for separation? Hearing no request for separation, what is before us is the Zoning and Land Regulation Committee recommendations. So all in favor of approval of the committee action, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. That motion carries. Those zoning petitions are adopted. We're on to K, resolutions. I'm just checking our, been zipping along and I need to check our registrations. So, all right. K1 has none. Okay. So, excuse me. All right. So item one is 2024 resolution 357 approving agreements for an affordable housing project at 1202 South Park Street in the city of Madison. What is before us is Health and Human Needs Committee recommendation of sub one. I should say the resolution is amended by sub one. Discussion, questions on resolution 357, Supervisor Weigand.
Just like to be recorded as voting no, thank you.
Clerk will make a note of that. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. With that, the motion carries, the resolution is adopted. We're on to K2, resolution 2024, resolution 375, award of contract for grounds maintenance services at the Dane County Regional Airport. What is before us is Public Works and Transportation Committee recommendation of sub one as amended. We do have registrants wishing to speak on this item. No.
Oh, you're right. They had the act again.
Right. Okay. Hold on a second. I gotta get to the registrations. Okay. Our first registrant wishing to speak in favor of the resolution, Emeryn Geyer, I believe. That's how you pronounce your last name. Sorry. To be followed by Nathan Smith. Welcome. You have 5 minutes to address the board.
Good evening. My name is Emeryn Geyer. I am the secretary for Dane County Employee Group Local 65. As many of you know, Local 65 has been steadfast in its opposition to outsourcing in all forms at Dane County, including the specific resolution regarding groundskeeping services in the public areas outside the airfield in front of the terminal at the Dane County Airport. This contract started as a nearly $850,000 five-year deal, which we feel is an exorbitant and unnecessary price tag for these services. It is also a matter of fact that the county not only has the equipment, but also the workers to fulfill these duties. I would also like to highlight the unpopularity of this outsourcing contract as well. At the March 25th Public Works and Transportation Committee meeting, over 30 people registered in opposition, and it failed with a 1-4 vote, with even the three YGPs taking a 3-0 vote. At the April 15th PWT meeting, it was much the same, over 40 people registering opposition, including six who spoke against it. District 25 Supervisor David Betcher, at that time, proposed an amendment to sub one to the committee. Amendment limits the initial term of the contract to December 31, 2025, at which point it will have to come before the county board for discussion on the additional years. This is also in the interest of transparency to the county board and therefore the taxpayers, who without it would not be able to voice their opinion or have any oversight regarding the additional years and tax dollars that would come with extending it past the original term. Looking to the future county budget situation as well as the current national economic and federal administration, this is a step in the right direction and, in our belief, much more fiscally responsible. This timeline will also allow the employee group to work with management through the Departmental Labor Relations Committee to find a solution that benefits both the airport staff and the public which we serve. It's no secret that we believe this work can and should be done in-house by county employees who are paid a good living wage with family supporting benefits. One of the goals that County Executive Agard has for the Dane County Airport is to achieve international status. And while Local 65 absolutely supports this, we want to make it clear that this cannot be done with outsourced labor. The public deserves better, and Local 65 is here to serve that need. In closing, I would like to highlight the program evaluation that Michael Engelberger has proposed from November last year. This will look at all contracts in the county that the county has regarding privatization of skilled trades, maintenance, and general labor work done by the county. I feel this is a worthwhile endeavor given the current state of affairs, and I urge you all to support that as well. Thank you for your time.
Any questions for the speaker? Okay, hearing none, our next speaker is Nathan Smith, to be followed by Travis Thomas.
Chair Miles, County Board Supervisors, thank you for this opportunity to speak tonight. And happy International Workers' Day to you all. My name is Nathan Smith, Dane County resident in District 18, skilled laborer at the airport, and ASME Local 65 exec board member. Tonight, I would like to speak of mine and Local 65 support of Sub 1 to Resolution 375 as amended by PWT on 415. We are in support of this reasonable compromise that provides the time necessary to discuss with airport management and our Departmental Labor Relations Committee how to return this work to county workers. You may already be aware of the convoluted legislative history of this resolution, one where our allegiance bounced back and forth. I would like to explain this history and how we came from opposing this resolution to supporting it. Local 65 first became aware of Resolution 375, a five-year, nearly $850,000 contract for groundskeeping at Dane County Regional Airport on March 20th, when we saw it on the agenda item for March 25th PWT committee meeting. We were shocked this is how we were learning about it, given that on March 11th, we had had a labor relations committee meeting with airport management, and it was never mentioned. We were immediately opposed to this outsourcing. It should be of no great surprise to this board that Local 65 is opposed to any outsourcing of our duties. Local 65, between Local 65 and 720, groundskeeping at Dane County facilities is our duty. We organized and planned for a response in opposition to this five-year contract. The PWT committee heard our concerns, and the original resolution was decidedly failed to pass on a 1-4 vote. The YGB vote was 0-3. Between then and the airport commission meeting on April 9th, Supervisor McCarville wrote a sub that, when we first read, sounded promising. The sub would approve a contract for the remainder of this year for just over $160,000, with the option for four additional one-year terms with county approval. Some of us in 65 still wanted to oppose this resolution because it would still allow outsourcing of our work for at least the remainder of this year, potentially more. Some of us supported it because that time would grant us the opportunity to make a thoughtful plan about how to responsibly return this work to county workers. We could use the next few months to discuss with management and labor relations committee meetings to make that plan. Ultimately, we decided on the latter, the more prudent approach. And we went to airport commission meeting in support of the sub. However, we learned from a welcomed line of questioning from Supervisor Rhinelander that the term county in the sub referred not to this body, but rather to airport management. That night, the sub passed the airport commission. So then we went to the PWT on April 15th in opposition. We believed that without oversight, that this contract would simply roll over to next year and the next. That night, Supervisor Betcher introduced an amendment that we support to the sub that stipulated the additional years would be granted with board approval, thus ensuring oversight from this body. That amended sub passed PWT that night 5-0. We were also pleased to see in the minutes from that meeting the project proposed by PWT Chair Engelberger to evaluate privatization of labor contracts in Dane County, though this program is yet to be implemented. Last Monday, the same amended sub passed PNF on a 6-0 vote. Which brings us here in support of the amended sub to Resolution 375. With this, we have the time to work with airport management and perhaps the new director to make a plan to return this work to the county. There are multiple benefits of insourcing work, providing fair wages and benefits, safer working conditions, higher quality work, and keeping tax dollars local are just a few. Unfortunately, union workers and public sector workers are under attack right now. It pains me to say that every day, and perhaps more so on this day. I'm proud to be a county employee at the airport, and I'm a proud 65er. Suffice to say, when you invest in labor, you help create workers that feel valued, respected. These public sector workers with a sense of community and ownership in their work sites provide high-quality work. They learn the details of their job sites, where turf grass struggles, a particularly weedy area, sites where some species underperform and others thrive. and they respond accordingly. More so than contract workers, who are often forced to value speed over quality.
Nathan, you have about 30 seconds left.
Thank you. Those workers statistically earn less and have less room for advancement. And as our sister in Local 6000, Christine Powell from Madison Street, spoke of at PWT on April 15th, those workers are harder and harder for private companies to find. So this is how we have come to support sub 1 to resolution 375 as amended by PWT on April 15th. It's our hope that by this time next year, the groundskeeping at Dane County Regional Airport will be county work, and we will not be here again to continue this conversation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Nathan? Seeing none, thank you. All right, up next is Travis Thomas.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Chair Miles, and happy International Workers' Day. I'm Travis Thomas, treasurer of AFSCME Local 65, and I'm a terminal maintenance worker at the Dane County Airport. I'd like to thank the County Board for letting me speak this evening, and I'm here to speak in support of Sub 1 to Res 375 as amended at Public Works on April 15th. I'd like to thank Supervisor Vetcher for introducing the amendment to the sub, and I'd like to thank Supervisors Engelberger, Udell, and Rhinelander for their assistance in the different committee processes. Last month, I spoke at Public Works Committee about opposing the original Resolution 375 to give Manthe Landscaping a 5-year, $850,000 contract to perform groundskeeping work at the Dane County Airport. That night, Res 375 was defeated as Public Works Committee determined that resolution in its original form was not in the county's best interest. The resolution now, as amended, would allow for groundskeeping duties to be performed through this year and require any future contracts to go through the county board resolutions process again. The employee group supported this compromise, allowing for groundskeeping work to be completed this year, while the employee group and management had an opportunity to work together over the upcoming months through labor relations meetings to create a strategy to alleviate outsourcing the grounds work at the airport. We feel the lack of transparency of the original contract would be renewed, the way it would be renewed, contradicts the idea of open government and accountability. It's problematic when county departments engage in seemingly never-ending third-party vendor contracts with little oversight and requiring no board approval. With impending tight budgets moving forward, it is fiscally and tactically unsound to enable departments to enter multi-year contracts for hundreds of thousands of dollars for work that can be accomplished by county employees. We also feel a department going through a leadership transition, such as the airport, entering into long contracts takes big decisions out of the hands of new leadership. Long-term deals such as this one forces the hand of new department directors and forces them to follow their predecessor's vision of the department. The airport has capable personnel and resources to handle the bulk of the groundskeeping duties, and we feel with more time and discussion over the coming months with airport management, a resolution could be found to keep groundskeeping work in-house. One example of this, is spreading mulch. While time-consuming, it's an annual event that could be accomplished with airfield and terminal employees working together. You only spread mulch once a year. Another task that could be currently accomplished in-house is spraying for weeds, which could be handled at any shift. And I know for a fact that some of our airfield workers already work in some of the turf repair that goes on outside in front of the terminal. We feel in time, the addition of a permanent groundskeeper and potentially a seasonal LTE position, along with occasional assistance from airfield, terminal facility, and terminal maintenance workers, could fulfill the groundskeeper needs. This is, after all, Wisconsin, and there's not that much groundskeeping done between the months of October and March. In closing, I'd like to thank the board for its time and hope airport relations can work together to find a path forward to keep county workers doing county work. Thank you.
Any questions for Travis? Okay, hearing none, thank you. All right, excuse me. As I said, we have before us Public Works Transportation Committee recommendation for approval of sub one as amended in committee. Discussion on the sub. Okay. Hearing no discussion, all in favor of approval, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. That motion carries. The resolution is adopted. Okay, on to item L. We have one resolution here before us, resolution 405, county executive appointments. What is before us is executive committee recommendation of approval. The committee acted tonight unanimously earlier this evening. So discussion, questions on resolution 405. Okay, hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That motion carries, the resolution is adopted. We're on to item M, items requiring more than a simple majority. We have four items before us. Are there any requests for separation? Hearing no requests for separation, what's before us in the four items are the various committees' action. I'd like to record those as having passed unanimously if there is no objection. Hear no objection, so it'll be so recorded, and those items are adopted. That takes us on to any other such business as allowed by law. Hearing none. Before adjournment, just a reminder, our next meeting, May 15th, we will have a committee of the whole in this room at 6 o'clock. So just a reminder on that. So with that, it's a motion to adjourn, moved by Erickson, seconded by Bollig. Discussion on adjournment. Hearing none, all in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
Aye.
Motion carries. Good night, everybody.